Hey, Shalom, King. What's good? Lucky you. You're about to get off. I got to stay. They got me working. I know. Yeah, we're supposed to go to ISUPK's cookout tomorrow after the Sabbath, man, but I got to work. I tell you what, man. I'm on the other side. Come over here real quick. Let me holler at you and let you know what's going on. All right, peace.
Lockdown.
What's up for the week? What we doing, man? What we doing tomorrow?
I got to work tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day off. Supposed to be going to the ISUPK cookout after the Passover, but they called me in to come to work last minute, man. I'm so sick and tired of these damn chains, man. The job is like an albatross around my neck.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. Tell me about it, King. So what we going to do, man? We gonna fall off? We got to come up with a plan or something.
Man, listen, man. This is like prison I'm about to escape.
I'm gonna use my tape to get the hell out of the job tomorrow. I'll see you there. All right. Hey, look,
man. That's what we're gonna do, man. We out, right?
You feeling a way that you're not really acting up there?
No, I'm not acting at all. I'm real. May have a little music in the background, but everything that I do, I look at as been real.
You know, I first came here some 400 long years ago.
Yeah.
I came as a first class passenger.
Yeah.
On a cold, nasty, muddy, wet prison of death.
Yeah.
A slave ship.
Yeah.
Place to blame from where the hatred came. It won't erase the pain, it'll only stagnate the change. Now I ain't saying Whitey ain't gonna pay for his crime committed by the man designed the wicked to be wicked with divine intervention. But let's deal with the facts on how we ended up in them chains. Breaking God's laws, thrown on ships in deplorable conditions. What a horrible vision to have the vision. A slave then, a slave now, instead of ships that got us packed in prison. All from ratchet living, self-hatred, lack of knowledge. Knowledge you won't find from master's degrees and master's college. Master don't love you, master don't love his own, unless it's 33rd and a third degree of the skull and bones. And you just a nigga with some pale hue. Twice a loser, your heaven but catching hell too. The hell with you is God's chosen over everything. Give us life, Hebrew Israelites, together let us sing.
Handshakes and policy. Y'all follow me? It's all idolatry in this land where we're swearing the pledge of allegiance and everything is beautiful except for our features. Blacks and Puerto Ricans got conquered by the heathens and sold to the Grecians. Paul wrote to the Ephesians aforetime. It's wartime. That's the reality. It's time to get back to that ruling class mentality. And my mentality is scripture orientated. I'm destined to keep the laws. That's why I was created. It'll lengthen your lifespan. Avoid any chip that's implanted in right hand. I never trusted this bastard. He did away with chains and enslaved us to mass debt. I pray your Howard shall deliver me, cause all I see all my people is pure misery.
Sick and tired of these chains, these chains of pain.
children of Israel that slavery would come. My behavior gave us these crumbs off Damascus table. What? We was fed the abomination of the swine. Poison the mind, weaken the body, living a savage life, posting with guns on social media. Sisters with nude pics, can't tell if it's a dude or chick. Confused with this type of madness, polluted with the rites of passage of the Europeans, stripped of by God, customs and culture. Wherever a dead body lie, you're bound to see a vulture feasting on the carcass. These last days, they be the darkest for the chosen seed. What? Sipping lean and smoking weed, gang banging and dope slanging, still on them ropes hanging. Dear Lord, I don't see no progression, or no reason for mercy or you to show some blessing. The youth today, they don't take no correction. Our mothers full of pain, cause our sons, they still locked up in them
chains. Gotta break away from these chains.
Has been a priest, Daniel Allah, and Ashyasha Allah, L-O-I, A-O-I, connection.
Shalom, Israel. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting episode of Blog Talk Presents. ISBHPK. We are broadcasting live from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And today we are going to go over the Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, which consists of the blessings and curses, the blessings, the reward for blessing, the blessings and rewards for our obedience to the Most High, and the on the flip side also the curses and judgments and punishments for being disobedient to our Father. And the first thing we're going to do is touch on who God is addressing as far as these blessings and curses, the obedience and disobedience. Is he talking to everybody, or is he towards a specific people, towards a specific group of people, towards a specific nation, to be more specific? Who is he talking to? So with that, I want to start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Again, we're going to be going over Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings and the curses. The first thing I want to touch on is Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. So that we can establish who God is addressing here through his servant Moses, because Moses is the one that is going to be dropping this, but he's basically the messenger of God at this point, the prophet of the Most High, dropping it on the rest of Israel. Okay, so let's find out who is being addressed here and who this applies to, who this pertains to, okay? So I'm going to start off in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, and it reads, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live," there's a purpose here, looks like life, "and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." So again, this is specifically being addressed to to a specific group of people, and not just mankind in general. Okay, not just anybody and everybody can just walk up and receive this, and or have this option. Okay. It's, I'm going to read it one more time. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now therefore hearken," meaning listen. The first four letters of that word is H-E-A-R, which is which is what hearken means, is to hear or to listen. It says, "Now therefore listen, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments." Judgments meaning the consequences of breaking those laws or statutes, right? which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers, again, not meaning everyone, okay? So we're talking about God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel, okay? We're not talking about everybody here. This is not addressed to everyone. So that being said, with that established, that point established, let's go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the blessings and curses of basically the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience, particularly to the children of Israel. So we've established who this is being addressed to, okay? So without further ado, we'll read chapter 20, we'll start at verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, meaning this is something that's going to happen in the future because God said so. If thou shalt hearken, there's that word hearken again. We don't use that in everyday English today. So for those of you that are new listening in, that means listen. The first four letters of that word hearken will tell you hear, okay, hear or listen. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Not everybody's God specific here, okay, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. Didn't say some, it said all. All his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Again, further reiterating the fact that God is not dealing with mankind in general here. He is talking to a specific nation of people, his chosen people. And we know who that is now from Deuteronomy 4 and 1, what we just read. He's addressing the Israelites, okay? Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So anywhere we go, basically we're going to be blessed. The field, if we refer to Matthew chapter 13 and 38, Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, the field is talking about the world. So whether you're in the city or outside the city, no matter where you're at, if you're in a rural area, if you're in a dang boat or whatever, a ship in the middle of the ocean, wherever on this earth we go, or wherever we go, period, I should say, this is blessed shalt thou be in the city and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So everywhere we go, if we were obedient to the Father, we would be blessed. We would be provided for. We would basically be in paradise. If you think about God's blessings and his rewards and what he's capable of and what he can do, after all, he is the creator of everything that we know in existence and everything we don't know in existence. So we would have a blessed life, in other words, for our obedience, which we just read about in verse 1. If we listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord, our power, or thy God, okay? It says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Once again, verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. So the fruit of your body is talking about your children, basically, and what comes out of your body, reproductive-wise, your children, your kids, that will carry on your lineage, that will carry on your bloodline, and that will continue to do for their children what you taught them. So this is supposed to be a generational blessing, okay? So again, verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. So the fruit of the ground, of course, is what? Common sense, your crops. Okay? We're farmers, we're sharecroppers and whatnot. So he's going to provide for our crops. But we don't even have to water our crops. He's going to provide everything for us that we need so that we can focus on the Father. Okay? And we don't have to do all this work that we're doing now and not hardly be able to focus on the Father, because so much of our time is taken up now. But it didn't have to be like that. These are the blessings that we were supposed to get, okay? So let's continue on. It says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. Again, we're in verse 4. And the fruit of thy cattle. So the fruit of your cattle, that means their offspring, your cattle's offspring. So you're not limited to, okay, the lifespan of that oxen, or you're not limited to the lifespan of your sheep or your rams or whatever kind of cattle you possess for your benefit or for your and the nation's benefit, I should say. Their offspring will be blessed. Their children are basically, yeah, their offspring will be blessed. So you'll be always in abundance. We would always be in abundance of our cattle. And I'll read on. The fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. So that we would never lack. We would never have to worry about those kind of things. Some mysterious pandemic taking out our cattle, and now we're barren, or we're lacking. Okay, so we can't. It's making it hard for us to function, basically. No, we would always be taken care of. All we had to do is stay obedient to the Father. All we would have to do, according to what we've read so far, is to stay obedient to the Father. So y'all stay obedient and loyal to me, and I will take care of the rest. It's basically what he's saying here. We'll go into more of the details here. We'll read on down. Verse 5, it says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So your bank account in today's terms, your pockets, your finances, you're straight. You're not struggling. You're not begging. You're not begging anybody else for a loan. You're not struggling. You're not broke. You're not lacking. You're not, in danger of eviction. You're not worried about any of these things when your basket and your store is blessed, okay? And your financial wealth and gain, your possessions, your financial, what you possess financially, your bank account, thy basket and thy store, okay? Your groceries, basically your supplies for your home, your groceries and whatever else you need. You're not lacking anything. In other words, if your basket and your store is blessed. Let's read on. Blessed shall be, verse 6, excuse me. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. So that's pretty common sense too. When you come in, that means when you're born into this world, you're going to be blessed coming in. And blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. When you die blessed. Okay? Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. So anybody that endangers our well-being or comes up against us with any kind of threat, we have God's protection from that. He's our shield. He's our power. He's our buckler, so to speak. He's the one that's going to make sure that no threats prevail against the children of God. We're going to be fine. Bliss, in a blissful state, not having a worry or care in the world or about nothing. All we got to do is stay obedient to the Father. It sounds so far to me, I don't know about anybody else, but so far to me, this is sounding like paradise. You don't have a worry or a care in the world. You're in a completely blissful state. You have no need or reason to worry about nothing or lacking anything or running out of any type of supplies. Nothing. You're not lacking anything whatsoever. You're in paradise. There's no reason to worry. You're full of joy. And you can focus on pleasing the Father and rest in the fact that you have nothing to worry about. That does pretty much sum up paradise, okay? Heaven on earth, if you will. I'm going to read on verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten. Smitten meaning a sharp blow or strike. Smitten before thy face or killed, destroyed, if you want to take it that far. Smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way. Check this out. And flee before thee seven ways. So it's like a, wow, that's something else. They'll come out one way in one united front. And then when it gets down to it, the end result is they're running and scattering like roaches, basically. Seven different ways. They, oh, my God, we shouldn't have did this. You know what I mean? We wouldn't have nothing to worry about, basically. Nothing at all. No threats of any kind to worry about. Not having to lack anything. Not worried about losing a child from sickness or a stillborn child. Because we just read that. Blessed shall, verse 6, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. We're not worried about having deformed babies. We're not worried about, again, stillborns. We're not worried about birth defects and all this kind of crap. Your baby born with a disease and only has so long to live. We're not worried about things like that. Because, again, verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And we can name a number of things in how we typically go out. We go out suffering. Okay, we go out with sicknesses, we go out cancer, we slowly dying. We've heard of these things if it ain't happening to you particularly, but if you're blessed going out, you ain't worried about none of that. You go peacefully and you don't go suffering. You don't go with heart disease, lung cancer, dementia, you name it. You don't go out slowly suffering. You know what I mean? Verse 7, but continue on. The Lord shall cause thine... So I already read that. We just jumped all the way back. I don't have to go back over that again. Let's continue in verse 8, folks. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay? So let's reflect on that a little bit. What's it talking about? Blessed in the storehouses and all that. So basically the Midas touch, if you will, for those of y'all old enough that y'all can relate to that. Everything we touch turned to gold. Everything we put our hands to prospers. Nothing but is success. Okay, to add on to the paradise, like everything we do and put our hands to, because we're doing it in the name of the Heavenly Father, because we're doing it in the name of the Lord and being and maintaining our obedience unto Him. This is what He gives. This is what He's going to give us in return. I don't think what He's asking from us is too much, y'all. Follow my laws and stay obedient and loyal to me. Remember, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember, I took care of y'all in the wilderness. Regardless of y'all's complaining, acting like a bunch of spoiled brats, I took care of y'all. The least y'all owe me back is your loyalty and obedience. Let me be your power and let me show you how much I love you and what I'm willing to do for you and give you back in return for your loyalty and obedience, your servitude, okay? This is what we get in exchange? Shoo. But anyway, let's read on verse 9. And the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if, big if right there, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. That's all these people have to do. I'll just leave it at that. That's all these people had to do. And so far, like I said, even before verses 8 and 9, it's already looking like paradise. It's already looking like a blissful state. It's already looking like carefree, worry-free. It's already looking like paradise and heaven on earth, okay? That's even before we read these last two verses, okay? But let's continue on. Verse 10, and all people of the earth. Now it's talking about everybody else, okay? Now you can switch your minds back to that. Verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou, who? The children of Israel, we established that already. Deuteronomy chapter 4th chapter, first verse, right? And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. We just read about that. That verse 7. All right, jump right back up. It's just reiterating that. But anyway, well, you can. We already read it. I'm not going to go back to it. Let's read on. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. So plenteous is opposite of lacking. Okay? So plenteous, that means you'll never lack. You always have enough. That's something else, excuse me, you'll never have to worry about. You're running out of anything, running out of money. Oh, dang, where are we going to get more toilet paper? Oh, dang, where are we going? Oh, man, we're out of, oh, man. The walls are caving in. I got to get another job quick. We're just starting to run out of everything, and then I'm getting behind on my rent, man. We're finna get kicked out of this month. Oh, my goodness. Plenteous, just the opposite of that is the blessings of God, y'all, of what I just described. Plenteous is just the opposite of all that, all those type of worries that cause major stress. You're old enough at some point in your life, you've been through this type of stress. But it didn't have to happen if we would have just stayed obedient to the Father, okay? So verse 10, the people of the earth, I'm sorry. You know what? I'll read that again. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. So not everybody, all people, they'll see that not everybody's called by the name of the Lord, thou. A particular people is called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee, meaning everybody else is going to be fearful of us because we're God's people and because God is with us. Remember, scriptures say, if God be for you, who could be against you? God be for us, who could be against us? And that's a very true statement. Okay? It says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Okay? Many other places in the Bible reiterate that point. Let's move on. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle. So our children and the offspring of our cattle will never lack. If we remain obedient to the Father, he will take care of everything else. In the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. So God made a promise to our forefather, Abraham. Okay? He made a promise to Abraham that he would make a great nation out of us. Out of him would come a great nation, and he would bless that nation. He would always be with that nation. Okay, Abraham is also known as the father of faith. So that promise was made to him, and God hasn't broken that promise. Okay, we'll find out as we read on. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee, Shalom. Gabar Kawar just joined us, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord shut the watch for joining, sir. The Lord. Right now we are in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, sir. I'm going to continue reading. You got it. We're still in the blessings. Yes, sir. I'm going to continue on. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. That's part of the blessings right there. Think about it. Wouldn't it be nice to be the one to be able to lend and not the one to have to borrow and beg? Okay. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Meaning priority-wise, we're first and we're on top. We're ahead. We're the ones guiding everybody else. Okay? We're the ones telling everybody else what to do and ordering everybody in the name of righteousness. Okay? Verse 13, I'm going to read that again. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto, there's that if again, if, there's the conditions, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So he keeps reminding us, this is like the third time we're being reminded of this point here so far, okay? If we decide to be obedient, if the children of Israel, as we established that point in Deuteronomy 4 and 1, if we decide to stay loyal and obedient to the Father and follow his commandments, his law, statutes, and commandments, and walk in them and live by them, stay obedient and loyal to the Father. That's all the children of Israel had to do. So let's read on. No, go ahead if you want to make a point, sir. I'm going to put my phone on.
I'm a little bit confused on why we went through the blessings in the first place, because it's obvious that we did not obey the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments. So, I mean, the focal point of Deuteronomy 28 and Deuteronomy 28, period, is to give our people the understanding so that they can identify or see themselves in the scriptures. We want the people to, hey, that sounds like us. We want them to recognize who they are, which would be the children of Israel. And since we didn't follow the law, statutes, and commandments, it's obvious that we didn't receive the blessing. Okay?
Right. So I didn't want to give it away too soon, that by the end of Deuteronomy 28, we would know exactly who this is talking about. I didn't want to say that this is who the Israelites are. It would actually bring it out. So that's where I was. That's why I hadn't done it. Came out with it yet. But all I wanted to say was the children of Israel, because so by the end of this entire chapter, we would find out who the children of Israel is. Like, who is this pinpointing? Who are we talking about? Are we just blatantly saying that, no, this is us, this ain't nobody else but us? Or are we letting God's word speak for, let the Bible speak for us, and let the Bible itself, let the word of God bring it out. By the end of the chapter, we're going to know exactly who this is pinpointing. So, but excellent point. I want you, just wanted to make sure that everybody knew I wasn't trying to insinuate anything or jump ahead of what the Bible says. Let's let the word of God bring it out. But if I don't know if you want to do any reading or if you want me to.
Sure.
So we're in... We're in verse, you know what, I think I read to verse 13, I'm sorry. Yeah, we read to verse 13,
so
we want to start 14.
Let me read for you.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other powers or gods to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Most High thy power, or the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So what we're bringing out here is the flip side.
Right.
So we just got done going over the blessings. Now we're looking at the flip side, the curses of disobedience to the Father, not wanting to follow these laws, statutes, and commandments, and do your own thing.
Right.
So I got somebody calling in. Me
right.
Send a
so,
text. You want to go ahead?
Yeah,
send
go
this real quick.
Go ahead and get that. So where we want, because we already know the position that our people as a nation are in, it's definitely not in the blessed position.
Right.
And so going over the blessings, we wouldn't be able to relate to that, you know, because we didn't receive any of those blessings because we were disobedient. We should just probably go to 28:15. It says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee. Now, the focus word that we want to focus on would be curses.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if we could get a definition of curses.
Got it. Let's look that up. I'm just going to go to simple Google definition, see what they say. Yeah, I'll probably pull in that Merriam-Webster's dictionary also. We're going to go in on this. A curse is any expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will befall or attach to one or more persons, a place, or an object. Let me see what else they got here. Something simple. Curse definition, dictionary.com. Let me see. Curse. Let me make it singular. The expression of a wish that misfortune, evil, doom, etc., befall a person or group, etc. So this is coming from the Lord,
the expression
of a wish that misfortune, evil, doom,
right,
befall a person or group.
I like that. That doesn't really hit.
Go ahead, man. You got
like
something better. Go ahead.
An appeal to some supernatural power to inflict.
Okay.
Inflict evil on someone or some group.
Wow, where's that one from?
Or nation. This is in just the American dictionary.
Okay.
And what I like about this definition is it gives us another word to focus on, which would be the word inflict.
Inflict, right.
Right. And also the supernatural power to inflict.
Right.
Which would be the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we're going to get a definition for the word inflict.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to check out Merriam-Webster. Typically use that one anyway.
Wait. Okay. To inflict, to impose, to mete out punishment. That's what we're looking at here. Because what happens when we are disobedient to our parents?
Yeah.
We get
punished. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So in this focal point of Deuteronomy 28, what we want our people to relate to is the punishments or the curses, because that is what has happened throughout the 400 or, you know, or so years, you know, with the slavery and everything. You know, it's all punishment. So
right. What
we would do then is we would put the definition in the scripture. So I'm going to do that with Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, listen to unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which is basically saying to obey
what
he says and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these punishments,
punishments
shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Right.
Because it's obviously, you know, it's obvious that Israel is disobedient and we didn't receive none of the blessings. So we probably shouldn't have even went over those, because we are definitely not above all nations.
But good to show what we missed out on, I guess, what we could have had and what we ended up getting. Because we wanted to go over the entire chapter, not just the curses.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, then we could go the entire chapter. So then we would start at Deuteronomy 28 and 1.
Right. And that's what I already did.
Did you?
I read all the way up.
Okay. So let's start at 16.
Yeah, verse 14.
Okay. You read.
I read all the way up until verse 14.
Verse 14. And I just read 15.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So let's do 28 and 16. I'll read it. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field.
So cursed shalt thou be in the city. Sure. So when we were talking about blessed in the city and blessed in the field, this is just basically the flip side of that. So the city is talking about basically a populated area. And the field, if we go to Matthew 13 and 38, you could just write it down. We don't have to go there right this second, but I'll quote it. If you don't believe me, you can write it down and you could check it out on your own time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, according to that, the field is talking about the world, okay? So that means anywhere else besides a populated area. So just because you're in the city doesn't mean that you're going to get away from the curses if you leave the city. That means anywhere you go, basically the world is, the field is the world. So anywhere in the world you go where you think you might be running from or escaping the curses, put yourself on a ship in the middle of the ocean, like I said earlier, you're not escaping it there either. These curses are going to pursue us and follow and pursue us, like we just read, like the brothers just bring it out.
What are examples of these punishments being cursed shalt thou be in the city? One thing would be the ghetto.
Right.
The ghetto. Let's go ahead and get a definition of the ghetto.
The conditions, right?
Right.
You want to move this over?
You follow me? Let's get a,
I'm looking up ghetto right now. It says that part of a city, especially a slum area, occupied by a minority group.
Right.
Or groups. That's interesting. They just said
minority
flat out.
And a slum?
A slum. Especially a slum area.
Like that might have slum.
Basically before. like a really poor part of town, like a really run down, you know what I'm saying? You can tell these people here, like, they got it bad over here.
It's a punishment.
Look at how they dress. Look at how they conduct themselves. Look at what goes on over here. The statistics.
Just being
in a poor
curse.
Yes,
first.
Right.
So this is the first punishment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The curse is actually having to live in the condition.
Yep.
Just to inhabit the ghetto, to be a part of the ghetto.
I wanna read this real fast. Merriam-Webster's on point, y'all. I got to bring that out. This is another definition of ghetto from the Merriam-Webster 1828 dictionary, okay? It was, published in 1828. So it says, a quarter of a city in which Jews were formerly required to live.
Right.
A quarter of a city in which members of a minority group live, especially because of social, legal, or economic pressure. So this is done on purpose. When you see that word pressure, this is done on purpose. This is done purposely to make things harder for people, particularly minorities, from what we just read here in Merriam-Webster 1828.
Right.
And Jews, Jews and minorities are being grouped together right here. As if they're the same group of people.
Right.
To me, that's very interesting.
Right.
That they would actually go as far as to say, to bring out specifics of ghetto dwellers. Jews and minorities. Okay. So, meaning one and the same, basically, a quarter. So, that the first definition, a quarter of a city in which Jews were formerly required to live. Second definition, a quarter of a city in which members of a minority group live, especially because of social, legal, or economic pressure. Apply the pressure. This is right. Being done on purpose.
Right.
Okay, but
well,
that's very
only,
interesting.
You know, we want our people to punishment is done to
purpose.
Have a purpose.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, so... It shouldn't be surprising, you know, that it's being done on purpose because it's so that we can identify, make the identification, have, get knowledge of self, of who we are.
Right.
And, you know, as we keep going through these curses or these punishments, this is how we are going to, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, find out who the nation of Israel truly is.
Right.
All right, because we're going to be able to get our people to relate and see themselves in the scripture.
Right.
With that definition, a highly populated area of a city inhabited mainly by people of the same ethnic or minority group. Now, I like that word same. Because that means, because there's so-called Puerto Ricans, so-called Cubans, so-called Native Americans, so-called West Indians,
right.
Haitians, so-called Mexicans. You know what I mean?
I mean, really.
Same, meaning the same.
Really?
So they're basically letting us
right.
know.
Right, right, exactly.
That
there's
we're
only,
the same. We're the of the same nation.
Yeah.
In that definition.
And there's only specific groups of people. Keep in mind that are considered minority or ethnic groups.
Right.
And everybody knows who that is. There's no. That's no big secret.
Right.
We can look that up time and time, and we can go through here and really do more digging
right.
to really express and get our point across. But I mean, by the end of the chapter, we're going to find out who this is really talking about. We're going to hone right in on it because we're going to find out that no other group of people on the planet has ever experienced these things by the end of the chapter. I guarantee it.
Right. This is a pretty long chapter and pretty long breakdown. So let's go ahead and let's pick it up a little bit.
Yes, sir, we got
formerly a section within a city which the Jews were forced to live, especially during World War II, letting us know this is the ghetto.
Right.
And now we're talking about North America, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about our people. Because of world, especially during World War II, which is the ghettos in America really picked up. They really
okay.
really picked up. let's see. I'm just going to go through, like, punishments.
Okay.
You know, the ghetto, for one, being cursed in the city. Native Americans have been pushed out, put on land. You know, we used to, you know, deliver ice cream there and everything, and the things that, you know, you see on today's reservation, it doesn't look like it's a blessing that's going on. It looks more like a punishment. There's not too many resources. The land is contaminated. The only thing that's on there is casinos.
Right.
You know, but it's like a division.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He pushed the Native Americans out of the city,
right
and onto a place where he picked, you know, and
yeah,
it was the worst of the land, basically. I'm gonna move it up. Of the tribes, being other punishments,
mm-hmm.
In the city are the tribes with the division. The dividing of us between, you know, Issachar or the so-called Mexicans and so-called Negroes and the so-called Puerto Ricans with these gangs. Divisions being cursed in the city. You lose your children. You know, it's a, what is it, genocide?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're basically, that's a punishment.
Right.
Where we're killing each other over land that it doesn't mm-hmm. even belong to a street
right.
corner,
mm-hmm.
you know, when
right.
you wear the wrong color, you
yeah.
know, a street that another gang, which your brother,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're killing each other over that. That's
yeah.
that's a curse. That's a punishment. Fighting over properties that don't even belong to us. Let's see. Oh, well, I had another definition. It's any segregated mode of living
mm-hmm.
or working that results from bias or stereotyping. Curse in the field, you already mentioned, Matthew 13:38. James 1:1, I wanted to go there.
Okay, I'll read it for you if you like. James chapter 1, verse 1.
And this is to go with, you know, the field is the world.
Is the world, Matthew 13:38?
Right.
You got it?
Because, you know, being spread out,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what James 1:1 is going to bring out.
All right. So James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes.
To
which,
who?
To the 12 tribes.
Right.
Which are scattered abroad.
Scattered abroad.
Greeting.
Go ahead.
That's it.
Greeting. Okay. So, scattered abroad. Cursed shalt thou be in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, abroad. So, to give a little bit more understanding and a little bit more relation, let's go to Isaiah 11, chapter 11 and verse 12.
Okay. Chapter 11, verse 12. I'll read that for you. It says, it reads, and he shall set up an ensign and ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel.
The what?
The outcasts of Israel.
Right.
And gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Can you hit some lights in here, please, sir?
So the four corners of the earth.
Thank you.
And being scattered,
mm-hmm.
That goes in direct correlation with cursed shalt thou be in the field or in the world.
Right. All over the place, not just
all over
these
the place.
Cities or whatever. Right.
Right. So not only are we cursed in the city, and we can prove that, you know, with the scriptures and, you know, with the things that are going on, that have been going on since 1620, right? 1619.
Right.
Let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy 28 and 17.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 17. Back in Deuteronomy 28, folks. I'll read that. The curse shall be thy basket and thy store.
Okay. So,
that's talking about your...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's talking about your finances, modern day, your bank account, the supplies in your home, what you need to basically function normally as a normally functioning family, all your needs, the finances that it takes to maintain that, your pocket, your bank account, okay, that basket and that store, what you own, what you possess.
Right. On a wide scale, because what we're doing is we're focusing on all Israel, because I heard before I came in, you had put an emphasis on all Israel.
Right.
So we're not talking about the few who, you know, have a little bit of money, like, you know, the basketball players or, you know, the movie stars or, you know, we're talking about on a wide scale.
Yeah.
Israel doesn't have a basket, you know, or stores.
Yeah,
you know, on a wide scale. I mean,
right.
Let me know.
Yeah,
if you know of Israel, like the majority at least have a store or a bank account,
right?
Bank account,
right?
You know, most of us don't even have, you know, driver's license, you know, deposit,
right?
You know, for a place. So basically what it's saying is our monetary standing would be very, very low to non-existent.
There you go.
Most of the homeless is our people, so-called Negroes. Being in the ghetto, that's a low monetary stand.
Yeah.
You know, that
exactly.
That's most of our people spend their whole life trying to get out of that punishment, right?
All right. That's reflective on, if we go back to verse 5, it's just the opposite of that. So blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, meaning what I was saying back then, we would never lack. We would always have plenty. We would never lack. We would be in a, not have to worry about those kind of things. Be in a, like heaven on earth, like a blissful state.
Right.
Like you're rich, so you don't got nothing to worry about. You know, financially, you don't got nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? You're taken care of.
But that would have been if we were obedient.
But right. this is the flip side. I wanted to kind of reflect back on that.
Right.
So now we're looking at the flip side. It's saying everything that we just read about the blessed side, but now this, instead of a blessing, it'll be a curse.
Right.
Curse shall be thy basket and thy store. Curse is going to be your pocket, your bank account. You're going to lack. You're going to struggle financially. You're going to have to do things that you don't really want to do sometimes just to maintain, including getting up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, you know, just to hit that clock or whatever, or working graveyards.
Right.
Like nobody really wants to do. Nobody I know has ever enjoyed that.
Right.
I've never been able to get used to it. I did an 11 to 7. I did it 10 to 6, and 11 to 7, 11 at night to 7 in the morning, 10 at night to 6 in the morning, that type of crap.
Right.
You have to work on them. Then most of us can't sleep in the daytime. These are things that we have to do now just to maintain and make sure the bills are paid whether we want to or not.
Right.
It's just the options aren't always available to work the hours you want to do, so you just got to do what you got to do. And then that causes a bit of stress and anguish and anxiety and those things. So it's just like you got to do stuff you don't want to do just to live.
Right.
And that's not a blessed condition. That would be a curse condition. That would be a punishment. Thank you.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Okay.
You had something else? I did.
Deuteronomy 1 and 1. Go to Deuteronomy 1.
Because we
still want to focus on Israel as a whole, right, on a wide scale.
Yep.
So we're not talking about, you know, the rappers that have phones for, you know, money for phones. You know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, him and 50 Cent. Remember when they was counting all that money and everything? Because, you know, people are going to, you know, they may look at it and be like, well, we're not cursed with.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not broke. I make $20,000, you know, a month or whatever, $100,000 a year. But on a wide scale, does Israel make that? I know when you when they ask what is your annual income, is it below $20,000? Yeah, a certain amount.
Right.
I know mine is on the lowest. I mean, pretty much everyone got the stimulus. Why? Well, if you made over under
a certain amount,
99,000
and you have some
a year.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But how many Israelites? How many so-called Negroes, how many so-called, all the way down to the so-called Mexicans, make over $100,000 a year on a wide scale?
Right. You're right.
Probably none. I mean, we want to focus on Israel as a whole. You know, because there's going to be a few, but this curse was done to all of Israel.
Right.
So go ahead and read Deuteronomy.
You got it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel.
That's the only point. These be the words that he spake to all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not on an individual basis.
Right.
All right. The Most High judges by the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a nation, we were disobedient. So
right.
Now as a nation, we are being cursed. Or punished.
Right.
Okay. Basically, I just wanted to, you know, reiterate that Israel is poor, broke on a wide scale as a nation.
Right.
We're on the bottom.
Okay.
All right. Deuteronomy, what is it? 28 and
18.
18.
We'll move on. Deuteronomy 28:18. This curse shall be the fruit of thy body, meaning your children, right? And the fruit of thy land, your crops, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, meaning your cattle, the offspring of your cattle, you'll never lack. Your older cattle die off. They got. The younger cattle to replenish, and they got generations of cattle, just like generations of the nation, of our people, right?
Right, but we don't have that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are some of the curses that, you know, when it says curse shall be the fruit of our bodies?
Yeah, our children.
Right.
Sometimes we deal with... if we're not aborting them, because Planned Parenthood has most of our people on that and on killing our babies before they're even developed inside the womb. If not that, they're born with some type of deformity. They're born with some type of a lot of us are born with some type of sickness that we can't get rid of that might shorten the lifespan of that baby.
Right.
Deformities. What else? They're born in poor conditions, so you can't properly take care of and provide for the good health of that baby because you are lacking financially, or you lack the resources. You lack the resources to take care, to properly care for that child's health and well-being, get the checkups and everything for its health and development and well-being overall. So most of our people, the ghetto dwellers, we don't have. Whatever it is that is available is not designed to help us, but it's actually designed to do the contrary. It's actually designed to shorten the lifespan of our people, and that's done on purpose. That's by design, right?
Right.
So,
and also, isn't it supposed to be a blessing to have a child?
Exactly. And now it's more like,
I don't
want to have no more children. I don't want to have no kids. I don't want to have no children because I've got things I'm trying to do. I'm trying to focus on. I ain't got time to be no parent right now. Right. I want to travel the world, and I want to do this, and I want to get in this singing career, and I want to get into acting. I want to do all kinds of stuff, and I don't got time for no babies right now. You know what I mean?
Right. Because
I got to focus on that, and I don't know how I'm going to do that and take care of a baby at the same time. So it's like the whole mentality of having kids is not even a blessing anymore, like you just said. Right. Now it's like a curse to get right. pregnant. Oh, you got pregnant? Oh. Who's the daddy?
Now you got to figure out how to get rid of the baby.
Right. Now you're
going to give it up for adoption.
You got to get rid of that kid. You know, we can't raise that kid. You got to get an abortion. You got to go to abortion clinic. You got to get that baby. You got to get that thing vacuumed out of you.
Right.
And that's so sad. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's a reality.
Other curses is, you know, simply not being brought up with the law, statutes, and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge
right.
of the Most High. You know, that's a curse, not being brought up.
Our true heritage.
To know the Most High, that's a punishment. That's a curse.
Yep.
You know, getting it through Baptist Church, Catholic Church, or, you know, the other 39,998.
41,000.
You know.
41,000 different Christian denominations, Mashaba always brings
up. Our children come up on a wide scale,
confused.
And not even knowing,
confused and lost
about the Most High, and also
right.
being forced to go to these public schools, being raised on lies,
mm-hmm.
lies like Christopher Columbus discovered America,
right?
You know,
white Jesus.
Yeah, basically. Right. I mean, our children are being brought up on a wide scale. I have to keep reiterating that.
Yeah.
You know, because of course we're bringing up this generation,
right?
You know, but we are responsible for raising the whole nation of Israel. So that's the point where we want to get. You know, being simply put, that curse is, you know, being brought up with no knowledge of the Most High, no reality, no morals, no rules. Do whatever, our children are being taught to sin, and not even, you know, everything is fair game. You can do whatever.
I'm going to continue reading.
Right, go ahead.
Verse 19, it says, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out.
Right.
So again, the deformities coming, you know, born into basically poor condition, born into you live in the worst part of the hood, and you feel like that's your home and you'll never leave there. But what you don't realize, your kids, your kids are coming up in this, and basically they're gonna join gangs because that's the only thing that surrounds them. Who that they're gonna go to that district. Everybody up and down that block and on the next block, that's the culture that they're born into. So that's what they have to do. This is the next step of that. This is that step of their lives when they get old enough. This is our culture. This is all we know. We're trapped in this mud, and that's all we know. So if your kids do join a gang, more than likely, what's going to happen? They're going to die by the code. They're going to die because it's required, or go to prison to get their stripes, so to speak. You know what I mean? They're in that life, and they don't know nothing else.
Right.
The curse shall thou be when thou comest in. It's like you're born in the cursed condition. It's almost like a hopeless situation right off the jump.
Yeah, you're coming in with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says curse. Shall that be when thou goest out?
Exactly.
So you're going to die with nothing.
Yeah,
too.
Going out.
Meaning, you can't take anything, you know, anything carnal with you,
mm-hmm.
but you can have your family. You can leave your family so that they prosper each generation. You know what I mean? The heritage.
Yeah.
You know, so that curse of coming in with nothing, meaning our children are born into poverty.
Right.
You know, the ghetto. Being on the bottom of the monetary scale.
Right.
And more than likely they don't die without nothing. you know, let's see, Fred Sanford, maybe. I don't know how we could how we could reach the younger, because I don't know if they have, you know, a lot of knowledge of what happened with Red Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he died with nothing. He made all that money, you know, but he was born with nothing and he died with nothing. Let's see. I'm not going to, you don't need to go into too many, you know, examples of that.
Right.
You know, it basically just means we're born into poverty and we die poor, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or in a cursed condition.
Right.
Or out of suffering. With these diseases and whatnot that plague most of our people. But verse 20, I got you though. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. What it sounds like here, he's pissed off.
Right.
He's really pissed off at our betrayal and disloyalty towards him, our turning our backs against him for everything that he did for us. Like, how could you?
Right.
I've been here the whole time. How could you? How could you just turn your back on me and not reverence or consider the things that I've done for you? How you got, y'all, you're a dirty, nasty, you know what I mean?
Right.
Piece of crap. He's pissed here. If you really read verse 20 here, he's pissed off.
Right.
He's like, you know what? Cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that. Everything you try to do, I'm going to destroy it.
Right.
No, I'm just trying to get the gist of that.
Right.
Check it out. He's pissed off.
Right.
He is pissed off. Everything you set your hand to do, I'm going to destroy. I'm not going to let you experience it. Any true, long-lasting success.
Right.
No bliss, no kind of blessing, blessed life, nothing. Even if you're rich,
right.
those people are depressed and losing their minds.
Right. And they're giving up their
dying
morals.
Dying damn hair blonde.
You know, yeah.
And what are you doing, man? You got all that money and that's what you thought about?
Right.
You killed his mother, basically. Like, what was it? She was trying to get implants and she died on the operation table.
Well, I mean, just the fact that,
man.
You know, you're trying to get implants. So.
What do you need to do all that for? You're not satisfied with who you are? You got to make some type of fake improvement and that kills you.
Right.
That's a curse, man. That's
right.
A curse.
So the curse,
your mother
the curse is because you didn't follow the law, statutes, and commandments,
again,
you're not
going to
prosper. Anything you put your hand
to, you do,
Wall Street, the Black Wall Street, that came to, you know,
right.
Not because, what did they do? They murdered them cats, right?
Set the whole thing on fire.
Right, set the whole thing on fire.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, they burnt that down.
Let's see,
but
black colleges,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're not really looked at as black banks.
Mm-hmm.
Black-owned businesses.
Right.
They never prosper. You know, you don't have a Smith that's, you know, Israel-based or Albertsons or, you know, HEB in San Antonio.
Any big corporation.
There's no prosper.
Right.
And it's because all of those things, including the marching, you know, everything, you know, to get civil rights to matter, the civil rights movements, they don't prosper.
Right.
And there's a reason why, you know, because you had said earlier that all of this stuff is being done on purpose, you know, for a purpose.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to jump to Joshua 1:8 real quick.
Okay, I'll read it.
It goes in direct correlation to why anything we put our hands to will not prosper.
The other way. Joshua 1:8.
Right.
Got it. Joshua 1:8 reads. Sorry about that, y'all. Verse 8. chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Right. So basically, the reason why we're being cursed and nothing is coming to a successful level on a wide scale is because we're not obeying the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, you know, show that that is directly in correlation with that particular curse.
Right.
For Deuteronomy 28 and 20. Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Verse 21. We read verse 20, right? Yeah,
right.
We read verse 20. Verse 21 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. And we were driven out of our homeland because of the curse, because we pissed the Most High off, basically. Because
right.
We disobeyed him. We were disloyal to him. He drove us off of the promised land. The land that he gave, the land that he promised and gave our forefathers after the wilderness, he's going to drive us off of that, is what he's telling us.
Right, and the focus word that we want to get the definition for in that verse is pestilence.
Yeah. I'm going to look up pestilence.
Right. I think, do we skip?
Uh-uh. Come in and go out, born and die. No, no, we didn't skip that.
And then seated by land and then like by time.
So I got pestilence. Yeah, I got we were at verse 21.
Okay.
I got pestilence definition. It says a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. Interesting. Epidemic disease. That means widespread. Epidemic meaning widespread disease that is virulent. That means it's a virus. It's basically like it spreads like a virus, or it's a plague, and devastating, especially bubonic plague. It's given some examples here. Something that is destructive or pernicious. I'll pour this pestilence into his ear, William Shakespeare. So that was the quote. But basically, pestilence is like a epidemic, virus or infectious, contagious disease.
Okay.
So he one of the ways that he said he drove us off the land was through diseases. So
right.
We know ultimately, according to history, the Roman army drove us out of Jerusalem and chased us out of Israel into the northern interiors of Africa. But even before that, it was disease and famine.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
So
what we want to focus on is the pestilence that
mm-hmm.
our people can relate to.
Right.
This would be the epidemic, diseases, plagues, something that is damaging, something destructive. Examples of the measles, smallpox. Smallpox was a plague that killed over 90%
mm-hmm.
of the Native Americans.
Okay.
So you see where in Deuteronomy 28:21, where it says, until thou perish.
Till thou perish from off the land.
From off the land. Like,
right.
You know, basically, in order to push us to the reservation,
yeah.
He killed over, he murdered over 90%
yeah.
of Native Americans. Also, epidemics, diseases, plagues. Other examples are drug and alcohol epidemics. Things like fentanyl, the crack
meth.
Epidemic. Meth, heroin. Those are all plagues and epidemics and diseases
mm-hmm.
and illnesses
right.
that. Virtually destroyed Israel in the dispensation of time when the crack came out, and
yeah.
you know, all of the drugs, basically. Let's see. Also, the genocide. That's also a play to where we're killing ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the gang activity, the gang life is a disease. It's an epidemic. Okay. Deuteronomy 28 and 22. I'll go ahead and read this. The Most High shall.
Sorry about that, y'all.
The Most High shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting,
right,
and with mildew, that they shall pursue thee until thou perish. I looked up the definition of consumption. The definition that was in the American dictionary, it's basically consumption. It leads to smoking cigarettes, causing all kinds of cancers, eating pork, shrimp. Those are also cancer-causing,
right,
things, especially pork. Basically, all unlawful foods, drugs. Let's see. Let me get to this so that I can tie that in together with the definition, because you might not have, you may not have gotten that. Just saying that.
Let me get the Merriam-Webster definition. They always have excellent definitions. I have one of those. This is the consumption. Uses something, a progressive waste away of the body. A progressive wasting away of the body, especially from pulmonary tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Examples of consumption. Nope, that's not it.
The process of taking food into the body through the mouth.
Right.
As by eating. Involving the lungs with progressive wasting of the body.
Right.
So that's where I connect, you know, all of the cancers,
mm-hmm,
the parasites of from eating pork, just basically eating all unlawful foods.
Yeah.
Which are commandments, and we, of course, have been disobedient, you know, hence Deuteronomy 28 with the curses. These are all the reasons why, because we didn't follow the law, statutes, and commandments, we still are receiving all of these punishments and curses. Deuteronomy 28 and 22,
the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword.
With the sword. We're agitated with each other.
Right.
You know, we itchy trigger fingers. You know, I want to blow your head off because you stepped on my shoe. Oh, it's the summertime.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to get this money. There's a lot of murder that happens.
In the summertime.
We're agitated with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always, if you even look at the comedians, the way that they do their comedy, it's really showing us in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny,
yeah,
but it's not really. It's We are essentially killing ourselves,
mm-hmm,
you know, and piling it on by not wanting to follow the law, statutes, and commandments, basically is, help me out here.
Of the Most High, yeah, just basically our disloyalty led us to all of this.
Right.
To this miserable, unpleasant life full of struggle,
right,
and misery. let's move on.
Right.
So this is basically sicknesses of the mind,
right,
and also with the sword, it's talking about the sicknesses of the mind. The consumption is talking about
With the sword, it's what? Body. It's talking about what?
The way our minds are programmed to basically we're our own worst enemies. We're fighting over instead of recognizing who the real enemies are. We're committing genocide. We are our own enemies.
Right.
We fight our own people. We shoot at our own people with the gang activity and whatnot. We're the ones that are caught up in this in this mindset where you don't see these things prominent amongst the other nations. You don't see these things happening with the Chinese, so to speak. You don't see these kind of things happening with the Arabs. They're not banging on each other and killing each other. You don't see these things.
Stick with each other.
Yeah, you don't see these things amongst other people. You don't see these kind of curses. So it's like it's a contrast.
Right.
It's a distinguishment. Okay, who is this talking about? How could this be talking about anybody else? Who is this really talking about? Who is this pinpointing?
Right.
Who, this doesn't make sense that somebody else, somebody outside of this group of people would try to somehow graft themselves. No, you don't fit the bill.
Right.
Stay over there. This is not, this don't pertain to you. You don't get to claim this. You don't get to claim this. This did not happen to your people. This did not happen to your people. Your people did not go through this. Your people are not victims of the ghetto and poor living and slum and slum communities. Your people are not subject to this. You don't get to claim this. You know what I mean? Nowhere in your history has any of these things ever happened or you've been subject to any of these things.
Especially collectively.
Right. As we go down and read the rest of these curses, collectively, the bigger picture is going to show who this pertains to and nobody else on the earth but a particular group of people. You know, that's what we're reading here, is the curses of God. And it's going to get even more interesting as we read down. Let's continue, because we still have 40-something more verses. Let's go ahead and get through it.
Deuteronomy 28 and 23.
Verse 23, yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under shall be iron.
Right, they say stuck between a rock and a hard spot. Like, you're trying to pray to heaven, but you, in reality, you don't have access to the blessings of the Heavenly Father. You cut that off. These people have cut that access off from themselves. You can't even pray to God.
Right.
Because he ain't even hearing you. He ain't even listening to you. Oh, God, get us out of these conditions. Oh, God, has saved my babies and bring them back to me. The master then took my babies and sold them off to some other plantation. I just want my babies back. God, please, if you can hear me. Those prayers weren't answered. Those prayers were not answered.
Right.
Between a rock and a hard spot. No more access.
Right. And
you messed that up. Right. There's no more access. God ain't hearing you. Because you did what you did, and now you need him all of a sudden. Now everything's going downhill, and you need God all of a sudden. You know, the funny thing is, people in general don't call on God and God bless you and all of that and that God talk until they get in a real bad predicament. You see the people on the side of the highway exits out there with signs, and you give them some change. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. And I guarantee you, if their situation wasn't like that, God would be the last thing on their minds. God is only on your mind when you're at your lowest. Why is that? That's fake, and he don't want that.
Right.
He don't, the Most High don't want that. Like, you know what? Well, y'all had y'all's opportunity. Y'all had y'all's chance. Now it's time to go through the curses.
Right.
Now it's time to feel. For you to understand who really loved you and who really loves you and who doesn't.
Right.
You chose the path you chose. Now you deal with it.
Right.
That's what he's telling us.
You chose
to go down the path you went down. Now you deal with it. I don't want to hear nothing. He said he's going to turn his back on. We turned our backs on him. He said he's going to turn his back on us. He said, we shall see what your end shall be.
Right.
We pissed him off and made him jealous. Jealous as hell. He pissed him off. How many people admit to their jealousy? I'm jealous of that person. I'm jealous of them. Look at them. I'm jealous. God comes straight out of the Bible and tells you he's jealous.
And also, you know, to bottom line, give them the understanding. Because brass and iron are, like you said earlier, like being stuck between a rock and a hard place, they are metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically saying that you're going to have a hard life. You're going to have a hard life.
No access to
them. Also, brass and iron, when I was looking it up on what they consist of, they're not pure. Okay, Titus 1 and 15, to the pure, all things are pure or positive, meaning there's nothing that's going to be really positive about your life. You know, you're going to go through a life of negativity. You're going to go through a life of having to do everything the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Let me just get through this, because
right.
Blog Talk's going to cut out.
Right.
Man, we got to speed it up.
Go
ahead. I'm just saying.
Right.
I just want to remind you that Blog Talk is going to, I think
right.
we had like 2 hours.
Right.
And right now, so far, it's an hour and a half.
Okay.
I really wanted to get to the gist of it. I'm sorry. Verse 23 says that verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. Let's think about how horrible that is. Instead of rain coming out the sky, it's powder and dust. Sound like volcanic ash to me. but from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed.
So, you know, it's basically, it's talking about the blessings. There aren't going to be any blessings in this period of punishment. Blessings come from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's saying that dust, it's dry. It's going to be dried out, basically.
Right.
You know, when it's not plentiful, it dries out.
Like a drop.
It's a drop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking about the blessings.
Right. Verse 25. So, you want to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 25 says, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. That means smitten, meaning destroyed, a sharp blow. To smite someone means strike someone with a sharp blow. To be smitten can mean all the way up to being destroyed or killed.
Right.
Be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Wow, we brought that up earlier about being scattered throughout the corners of the earth.
Right.
So Israel is all over the world. They're not just in the Americas. We always say they're North, Central, and South America because they are primarily located in the Americas, but we know that Israel is scattered all over the world.
Right.
I know this personally from my father being in the Air Force and our his tour of duty me personally, his tour of duty in Germany and the UK and England, we saw the same thing over there. We saw, you know, dark-skinned people, ghetto dwellers over there. So we know it's Europe. We know it's other places, not just the Americas. But I just wanted to bring that out. I found that out personally because I got to experience that. But go ahead.
Remember, we're still focusing on the punishments or the curses, right? So,
well,
what
when,
the scripture
when it says
is,
all over the world,
right.
Like when it says removed into all kingdoms of the earth, that's what I was focusing on.
Right.
But go ahead.
Being punished in front of our enemies means we're being punished in front of all the nations,
mm-hmm.
right? Which you remember when you were a kid, if you got a punishment in
right.
front of everybody, it brought on an embarrassment.
Oh, yeah. It'd be talking about you forever.
So, everybody's laughing and pointing. You remember.
Oh, no.
We
remember when you,
got your ass whooped.
There was like 10 witnesses. You can't say nothing.
Any women that had a crush on you, you was the joke
right.
for Did you see how he was crying?
Right.
The punishment was, you know, being punished in front of our enemies. It was an embarrassment. embarrassment. It says, what does it say after that?
The verse 25 is really the flip of, if we go back to verse 7, that rise up against thee, it's talking about in battle. Basically, another nation that comes up against us in battle, verse 7, that they'll be, you know, if we had God on our side and we had the blessings because of our obedience, they'll come out against us one way and flee before these seven ways, according to verse 7, right?
Right.
The verse 25 is basically the flip of that. Now when the enemy comes up against us, we don't have God on our side no more.
Right.
So when the enemy comes up against us, the enemy is going to prevail against us and defeat us and basically wipe us out or have their way with us.
Right.
Make us slaves.
Make us slaves.
Right.
Make us follow their traditions.
And rape and pillage our women.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Rape, rob,
and steal
murder.
From us. Like, we don't have our way with y'all now. Y'all are powerless to stop us. We've defeated y'all.
Right.
So this is the flip side of verse 25 is the flip side of verse 7 is basically what we're looking at here. A lot of what we've gone through is the flip side of the blessings that we already went over all the way up until verse.
What is that last part of that?
Verse 25?
Yeah.
It says, "Thou and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." So basically,
meaning,
they're going to have their way with us.
Right.
We're going to overtake y'all, and we're going to take y'all over here where we can use y'all.
Right.
Where y'all could be useful. We need y'all to work over here and help build it and build this for us.
Right.
Like,
we're going to go to Luke chapter 21 and verse 24.
You want to go to Luke 21? You got it. We'll go there real quick.
Right. So
we
so
probably have about 20 minutes left, just
right.
So you know.
Right.
So Luke chapter 21.
We have to give, you know.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. In the scripture, and we also have to give details,
mm-hmm.
you know, examples that they can, you know, relate to.
You got it.
They can see.
So we're not going to finish this
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I mean.
But we'll continue
we
it. We'll definitely continue it. This is part one.
Right.
This is a little too extensive anyway. So Luke chapter 21, verse 24, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 21, verse 24. "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations."
Right. So that's...
Mm-hmm.
Now go back to
okay.
the end of 25. So
you,
you understand that basically we're going to be sure... It should say, no one shall shoo away the dogs or devouring, or is that in 26?
I'd have to go.
Is that
we can read down.
Yeah, go ahead and read 26.
Though. Verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 26. "And thy carcass," meaning dead body,
mm-hmm.
your dead bodies, "shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air,"
right.
"and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away."
All right, so now go back to Luke 21
okay.
and 24.
Chapter 21, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword."
Right, there's the carcass.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
"And mm-hmm. shall be led away captive into all nations."
Where it says we will be thrown amongst into
all kingdoms,
all
of,
kingdoms
the earth,
of
right?
the earth. Right.
"And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled."
Right. So, I mean, obviously this is punishment, and, you know, punishment eventually comes to an end.
Right.
Deuteronomy 28 and 27. I'll read it.
Go ahead.
Take turns.
Go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 27. It says, "The Most High will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed."
I'm looking at botch. An inflammatory sore to foul up hopelessly, often used to put together in a makeshift way, botch. Okay, that's the verb. I'm looking for the noun. Something that is botched. So the very first definition, an inflammatory sore, so an inflammation, itching, burning, so the botch, just so that the suffering,
Right.
Basically, the suffering is some of the suffering of Egypt.
Right.
So we know when we go back into the history of Egypt, we read in Exodus, and when we read in Exodus about what we were going through there, he said he's going to bring that back onto us. He's going to make us go back through that.
Right.
For our disobedience, part of the curses, we're going to go back through that. Y'all remember Egypt? Well, let's go back. Let's revisit that. At 430 years, I believe we were there. And with the emerods, and with the stab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed.
Right.
This is something you can't shake, you can't get rid of, you can't heal it, you can't find the remedy for it. And you just, it's something make you lose sleep at night. You can't even get rest because you're suffering from these diseases that are burdensome and bothersome.
Right.
You know what I mean? But let's read on. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. That means you're losing your mind. When it's talking about mad, it's talking about another, mad is another word for crazy.
Right.
You're going out of your mind. You're being driven. These curses are driving you nuts, right? You can't even make good, sharp, solid decisions for yourself or your family. It says in blindness. The blindness meaning you don't have no foresight. You can't make a good, clear, focused decisions.
Right.
You're like the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Like they shall both fall into a ditch, according to the scriptures. Like, you don't know where you're going. How are you going to lead somebody else and you don't even know where you're going?
Right.
You're both going to fall into the ditch, right?
Right.
And astonishment of heart. Astonishment, like you're so puzzled and so...
I can't believe that we're in these conditions.
Oh my God!
How did we get here? How did we become the tail?
Yeah. How did we get here?
Right.
How did this happen?
Right.
This is crazy. Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Right.
What's next? God, please get us out of this. This is horrible. If you are up there and you hear us, please. We were talking about this earlier. Please.
Right.
The heaven is brass. It ain't nothing getting through it.
Right.
You can't even reach the Father. At some point, he stopped listening to our prayers. Nope, I'm not hearing no more of y'all's crap. Y'all have pissed me off enough. Now y'all got to go through something for a period of time. You're still my children, but now y'all got to go through something for a period of time. Because y'all are hard-headed as I don't know what. And y'all have pissed me off to the point where anything you try to do, I'm not going to bless it. I'm not going to let it prosper. And I'm going to let all these people that I don't like take you over, and I'm going to let them be your salvation. Go to them for what you want. Go depend on them. Since I wasn't good enough, let's see who really hates you.
Well, I figured this is the point where
they just can't call in no more.
Right.
But it'll keep going until about 2 hours. So let's just keep going. Let's just finish it. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Meaning we ain't gonna be able to think clearly. We ain't gonna be able to think straight. We don't make good, wise decisions. We don't know how to even treat each other.
All right.
Verse 29.
So basically, we're going to become, crazy, insane, foolish, making foolish decisions, and enrage the angry black man, you know.
But check out that first part. The Lord shall smite thee.
Right.
This is him doing this.
Yeah, he's good.
This ain't the white man doing this. This ain't nobody else doing this. This is God putting this on us.
Right.
And he just said it. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. But this is a punishment from God. He did this. Not some other nation that was smarter or wiser or more powerful than us. He did this to us. The Father punished us. And that's what we got to get through our thick heads.
Right.
The Father is going to punish us until we decide to humble down and return to him. Right? Go ahead. That's all I wanted to add.
What is it? Deuteronomy 28 and...
29.
All right. Deuteronomy 28:29. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness.
We know what groping is, right?
Right.
You're feeling yourself around in the dark?
Right. reaching
I don't want to bump in. I don't want to bump my head into something.
You're
so I got my hands out in front of me.
Right. You're groping in the dark. You're reaching for something.
So he said we're going to grope at noonday.
Right.
When the sun is highest in the sky, it's going to be like we're still doing this.
We still are.
Bro, it's bright as heck out. You can't see what's in front of you. Oh, well, yeah, but, we're unsure of ourselves, our mentality.
We're
unsure of ourselves.
What it's talking about is we're groping dark. And in the dark, there's no vision.
Well, no, it says grope at noonday. Verse 29, it's saying we're going to grope when the sun is highest in the sky in the middle of the damn day.
Right.
As if it was dark and we really couldn't see anything. But it's the middle of the day. How are you, like, feeling around and the sun is way up in the... It's the brightest part of the day, and you still doing this. It's talking about
it's talking about
you
the scriptures being right here. That's good. The scriptures are right here, but you want to find something else.
So it's making
something
a,
else to it.
Yeah.
Vision.
So, I got you. All right. Let me cut you off.
Go ahead.
But you
don't
your part. So let's read verse 29 again. It says, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as, meaning a comparison, as the blind gropeth in darkness. Mm-hmm. So somebody that's actually blind, feeling their way around in the dark, that's how we are when the sun is highest in the sky. And we're not even blind, but it's this that's blind.
Right.
We've lost our culture. We've lost our God. We've lost our heritage and our way of life. So we don't know our ass from a hole in the ground.
Right.
Like we always say.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
So, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee.
Right.
That's the key part I go back to when we hit Deuteronomy 68. No man shall buy that. I go back like, look, it says it right here.
Right.
It's talking about the things we redeem or save, right?
Nobody, no man is going to be able
No man is going to
save Israel.
That's what Eddie Griffin, a stand-up comedian,
right.
He said, not one canoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you were the one that brought that to my attention.
Right.
He said, not one canoe showed up to bring any of us back. Like, get the, why? Because you thought that was our people? You thought they were us?
Right.
No, they're not. But if you want me to read, then you want to break down 30 or what?
I actually,
since we're taking
what time. I knew that if we did a detailed, with details and examples,
right.
that our people could recognize. I knew that we would probably get half. We probably would get to Deuteronomy 28 and 30. And that's what I had.
About 30?
Yeah, about 30. And then the next.
You want me to read 30 then and you break it down?
Right.
That makes sense. We'll do that. And then we'll stop there at 30.
Right.
Go ahead. I'll read it and you break it down. Or which one? It doesn't matter. This one's really easy.
Go ahead.
Thou shalt betroth a wife. And another man shall lie with her. So we know this is prominent mainly during the time of slavery when the slave master would have his way with a woman that he allowed you to marry and allowed you to be, but he's going to have his way with her anytime he wants because he owns both of y'all.
Right.
Right?
And that's also, that's right. It is directly linked with slavery with Esau or the Edom. So-called white man kicking in the door and raping
get out of the way. She's mine tonight.
In front of you, But it's also talking about in this day and time also where adultery runs rampant.
Throughout our communities.
Yeah, throughout our communities. Basically, the ceremony or the the vows of marriage,
right,
they don't have any value anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so
everybody's
there's a whole
player.
Pressure. Yeah. It's
everybody's a damn player.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's part of the curse.
It's part of the curse.
Mm-hmm.
All of the adultery.
And they go on the talk shows bragging about
right.
it.
Right. Right.
Ooh.
And it's a curse.
Really? How could you? Ooh. And everybody's making fun of the dude
right.
that got his heart broke or the chick that got her
or yeah. Or
now it's a big parody.
Yeah. And, you know, basically, if you don't care about your significant other or your husband or your wife,
right,
you know, to, you know, what is it, James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's part of the part of the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, anytime you don't follow the law, statutes, and commandments, that's also fornication or adultery
against the father.
Against the father.
Exactly.
So, in this case, though, the focal point is there's no value for marriage, and you know, adultery is running rampant, and that's pretty much where you know I'm going to leave it on that one. As far as that's 28 and 29, right?
That's verse 30.
That's verse 30.
We didn't finish verse 30. I'll finish verse 30 for you.
Right.
Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein.
Right.
Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
Right.
Yeah. We'll work our asses off. It ain't gonna be for us.
Yeah. The White House.
Right.
We built. You know, if you read the history on the blueprint for all of Washington D.C., the blueprint was done by a so-called Negro.
Mm-hmm.
And
HNIC.
Yeah.
All right, you niggas get to work, then, man. You follow these directions. You got any questions, you come ask me. You come ask me, and I'll guide you the right way. But you better not make one mistake here. It's going to be President of the United States home right here.
Right.
Don't make not one single mistake or you die.
Right. So
this is going to be the house of our president and our presidents to come. They beat a lot of brothers' butts and killed a lot of brothers behind the building of that.
Right.
Just the White House, I'm telling you. You got to go into that.
Right. So,
any little mistake,
Esau's kingdom.
Yeah. Any little mistake, you got the mess beat out of you.
Right. When we go to Colorado and all them houses up in the mountains, you know who built it. You know this car built all of that up there. Probably some Moabites too. But anyway,
you know who gets the credit? The person that can afford it and live in it.
Right. Exactly.
Look at that. Wow. How much did you pay for this? Oh, man,
$2.5 million.
What company built this? They ain't gonna say Mexican. They ain't gonna such and such enterprises. Yeah, they're pretty good architects over there. Huh? I'm thinking about having them build me another side house onto my property right over here. Look at the Mexican. Yeah, right. Don't give real people the credit for that. The genius architecture that they have is some big corporation to credit. Like they've always done. There's nothing new, right?
Nothing new.
Did you want to break up some of
that?
The
vineyards.
You got
You know.
That's one of my favorite words of all time. That's my red vineyard.
Basically talking about the vineyards.
Well, we used to live on 2nd and Montaño, La Plata, and there was a street called Vineyard that connects 2nd to 4th Street to go to Smith.
Right.
Remember, it's Vineyard, the way I used to say it. I used to make her laugh about it, but she remembers it. Vineyard. That's actually how you pronounce that word.
Vineyard.
It just sounds funny to me.
No, it's Vineyard.
Yeah, it looks like Vineyard, but they pronounced it when you asked for the pronunciation, it's Vineyard.
Basically,
Vineyard.
When it talks about the Vineyard, so it's directly in correlation with slavery. We were brought here to become slave men and slave women, and so in the fields, we were the ones that picked the cotton.
There you
go. Coffee. You know, Hills Brothers and, you know, was it Juan Valdez? And the fruits, you know, there's a car picking the oranges and, you know, the rest of it is just stomping on the grapes and all of that. On a wide scale, you know, Israel, we don't possess any, you know, Florida orange juice and all of that.
Yeah.
Those are all his, the so-called white man's profit. You know, off of our servitude. Any vineyards for wine?
Yeah.
I know that Jay-Z and them, they got Ciroc and maybe pop bottles and what's the name of, some couple of the liquor? Yeah, P. Diddy, he got Ciroc.
Sean John,
or whatever. You know, basically, we don't have any vineyards or, what are they, cellars, wine cellars, you know, with all of the expensive wines,
mm-hmm.
You know, spit bowls and
vineyards.
We probably are drinking the spit bowls, you know, mad about trying on something. But I just wanted to get to 30. You know, basically.
Nah, I ain't never drinking that again.
You never know. You never know. I think some stuff on TikTok. What's jabbing? Do you know?
Jabbing?
Like the parents or the jabbing, like immunization for the, have you heard about that?
No.
Okay. It has something to do with having to get, you know, the vaccine and everything. And
mm-hmm.
There was this Edomite who was straight telling everybody on TikTok and Facebook and everything that,